Good morning, good afternoon, and good night to everyone listening, and welcome to the Makeshift Managers Podcast. My name is Austin, and I've officially entered the running for the Indianapolis Colts starting quarterback.
My name is Devin, and I've officially thrown my hat into the search for the Houston Texans' next head coach.
Those expectations.
If I do get hired, I assume we're... If I get hired, I assume Deshaun is gone. He'll demand a release. I don't blame him.
I mean,
I have no qualifications besides a Madden acumen, unlike any other.
Now, hear me out. I've won 7 straight Super Bowls on Madden. What difficulty? That's not the point. I've won 7 straight.
You're getting lost in the semantics. Yeah, 7 straight, buddy. I'm a fantasy football champion. I'm great at roster building. Yeah, just give me the keys. I might crash it into a brick wall. I might get you to the playoffs. I can't guarantee anything.
But if you really think about it, how worse can I be than Bill O'Brien?
All I'm saying is I'm not going to trade DeAndre Hopkins. Because I can't.
It's fair. You can't, literally can't.
Yeah, that's the one thing I will be sure not to do.
Just... It's okay. I can't trade him. I promise.
I might move Watson for David Johnson's contract and a worse draft pick, but we'll see.
I mean, who really needs that kind of negativity in their life? If you really think about it.
Yeah, why not just... It costs a lot of money to win games. It costs nothing to suck. It does cost money to suck. But it costs considerably less to suck than to be really good.
And if you're really good, if you're really good, you set expectations high, and we don't need that in Houston. Who needs expectations?
I don't like expectations. I can't even spell expectations. I don't even want to think about that word. Sheesh. But speaking of expectations, the divisional round, I think it lived up to the hype for the most part. Well, 2 games did.
Yeah, I would say the Packers and Rams came out to what was to be expected. Bills and Ravens, probably not so much.
Yeah.
Chiefs and Browns was almost there until we had a little incident. And then the Bucks and Saints was pretty good, not too bad for a History Channel game. We'll start with the Packers, though, because I know you love Aaron Rodgers, so we're just going to get this out of the way now.
MVP.
Aaron Rodgers.
I've said it once, I'll say it. Best player on the planet. It is what it is. Like, I get it. Mahomes is like probably the most talented quarterback I've ever seen, but Aaron Rodgers is like a close second, and he's at the top of his game right now. Not only did Devontae Adams get a touchdown and like 70 yards, Aaron Jones had almost 100 yards and a score. Rodgers had a couple touchdown passes. I'm pretty sure he rushed for one. This Packers offense in Lambeau is scary as shit. They are really good. And I don't know if someone's going in there to beat them in Lambeau. It's cold. It's like freezing out there. You're going to tell me that Tampa Bay is going to come from 75 degree weather to play in a snowstorm and win?
I mean, Tampa Bay has a pretty insane incentive. They'll be the first team to play the Super Bowl at home.
And that's why I'm not going to bet them at all. Something that's never happened ever. You can't bet it. You just can't. Like, what are the odds against that? Like, if it's never... What Super Bowl are we on right now?
55.
So they have like a 1 in 55 shot at making a hometown Super Bowl. I'll take the 55, not the 1.
Yeah, that's fair. Plus, I don't know, Tampa Bay, like, they played well against the Saints, so, you know, they finally beat the Saints, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem possible that Tampa Bay defense is going to be able to hold down Aaron Jones, Devontae Adams, and Aaron Rodgers.
And if they do win, it's going to be a close game. I don't foresee what happened earlier in the year. As long as Aaron Rodgers doesn't like hump the air, I think the Packers win this game. by at least 7. Because Jair Alexander's locking down whoever's near him. The Packers are the first team in NFL history to have the number one graded wide receiver and number one graded cornerback based upon Pro Football Focus. It's never happened before. Number one receiver, number one cornerback.
I was wondering who number one was because I know they were talking about, you know, Ramsey versus Adams. So they talked about how Ramsey was the number two cornerback. I was like, wait, who's number one?
Jair's been a fucking island this year. He's been insane. He might not have all the picks and stuff, but he hasn't allowed over like 60 yards since week one. Every lot of touchdown and 77 yards to Amari Cooper since then, shutting people down.
But so Aaron Rodgers in this game finished 23 for 36, 296, 2 touchdowns. He carried 4 times for negative 3 yards, but he did get a touchdown.
Oh.
Aaron Jones, 14 carries, 99 yards. You were almost there. 1 yard off of 100 and a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Davante Adams, 9 for 66 and a touchdown.
All three of those guys are going to – if they're going to get their numbers, you can't beat them.
Yeah.
Because you're asking – like, if any team has the weapons to compete with this Packers team, blow for blow, it is definitely the Bucs. Whenever you have a receiving core – where Chris Godwin's the wide receiver 3, you're going to be able to put up points. So I'm not saying the Bucs can't do it, but I'm saying it's really hard to beat the Packers right now, especially in Lambeau.
Yeah, I mean, if Tampa Bay does win, it's one of those things of just Tom Brady doing Tom Brady things, but it might be Aaron Rodgers' year. But
at this same point, I get this weird feeling. Because whenever you think of the quarterbacks Brady has had to play in the playoffs throughout his career, let's just spitball. So Brady's played Peyton in the AFC. And after that, is there anybody else that's like on his level or caliber throughout those runs where he's getting championships besides Mahomes the 1 year he matched up with him?
In the AFC?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Besides Peyton,
I can't think of too many other quarterbacks. Like, I'm sure there was, like, some Pro Bowl-level guys, but, like, all-time great, I don't know if we've seen Brady have to go against these types of quarterbacks. He played Phillip Rivers a bunch of times. Phillip might be a Hall of Famer, but he's not on that echelon with Brady or Manning.
Who quarterbacked the Raiders during the Tuck Rule game? Is that significant at all?
I think the fact that we have to ask who was quarterbacking answers the question itself.
Yeah, that's fair.
It was probably like Rich Gannon or somebody.
That definitely makes sense.
Because I think Aaron Rodgers might be the best quarterback Brady's had to face in the playoffs, besides a Manning. And I think that does play into how this is going to play out. And at that same point, Brady would beat up on Manning due to coaching. Like, Brady's a great quarterback, but his teams are always better coached. So Matt LaFleur is coaching a really nice brand of football right now. Bruce Arians isn't the best defensive mind. Todd Bowles is a good defensive coordinator, but everything's starting to skew a bit towards Rodgers in this matchup. I like Rodgers more with the ball in his hands currently. I like their defense. It's opportunistic, and they haven't been getting gashed on the ground. And Tampa Bay doesn't seem to have much of a running game from game to game. Like, against the Saints, they were able to use some runners, but it's very hit or miss with them.
Yeah, I feel like Jones or Fournette, or probably a combination of both, would have to find a way to kind of get the running game going. But, I mean, that's what we saw last year with the Packers, is they just got torn apart by, like, Raheem Mostert, and that just isn't happening this year. Like, the biggest threat to the Packers is gone. Like, there's no good running game.
Yeah. The only team that can beat the Packers right now in the NFC is the Packers. Like, if the Bucs beat them, I don't know if it's more so the Bucs beating them or the Packers just not playing their game. Because they should be able to control the ball because they have the better running game. They should be able to air it out because they have the best receiver in the game. They have the best quarterback in the game. And on defense, like, yes, Devin White's probably the best linebacker in the game, but they have the best corner. They have some of the best edge rushers. They're a more complete team in my eyes, even though that Tampa Bay defense is stingy. Yeah. I think the Packers offense just puts them to a level that I think we haven't even seen from a Packers team since maybe their Super Bowl run.
So to not get too ahead of ourselves, let's go back a little bit. Let's talk about the Rams. Mm-hmm. What do the Rams have to do now? So now we'll get to the head coaches filling spots in a little bit. But they now have lost their defensive coordinator. Their defense doesn't really change. I don't think Aaron Donald stops 14 points from being scored in this game. I think Aaron Donald not being out there as much really does affect this game, but I don't think it was the difference between a win and a loss, per se. But I don't think the loss of Cooper Kupp is the difference between a win and a loss. But what do the Rams do now? Can you continue to put Jared Goff out there and expect to go to the playoffs and win?
The Rams have to pray to God that Jared Goff just says psych and restructures his deal, because that contract sucks.
Yeah.
Like, Jared Goff's not a bad quarterback per se, but he's not, I can't even say worth it, because it's like, that's his money. He earned it. But based upon your average NFL quarterback and their average salary, Jared Goff is overpaid for his talents. And that really straps them in terms of what they can do to surround him with pieces. That defense is set for a while. They've got Ramsey, they've got Donald, and they've got other pieces that are locked up for a bit. They're going to need to be sure that they can draft accordingly for young pieces. Like, Cam Akers at running back, that's great. They need to get younger on the offensive line. Whitworth is retiring, so there's going to be holes left for that offense. I'm interested to see how the defense performs next year, because if we remember the Rams from 2 years ago with Wade Phillips, they weren't really a world beater on defense. They did well because they had Jalen Ramsey and Aaron Donald, but Brandon Staley's defense really elevated those two guys in a system where they were able to flourish even more so. So the Rams have a lot of question marks. Offensively, they should be fine. I just don't know if they're going to be able to add enough to be competitive in that NFC West, because not only is Seattle trying to retool with a new offensive coordinator, the Cardinals are another year together with Hopkins and Kyler Murray. Hopefully, Cliff Kingsbury can figure something out to not go 8-8 again. And then the Niners are coming back healthy. So whatever ground they made up this year, it could easily slide out from under them, just because that division itself is a bloodbath.
You are. Everyone around them is getting better while they're not, while they're trying to stay. They'll be lucky to stay where they are as a 9-17. They were a 9-17. So, like, yeah, they beat Seattle, but I don't know if Seattle's going to get any better. Seattle, I think, has a lot of question marks, especially the way they ended their season. But yeah, the Niners are going to get healthy if they can get, I'm just going to say, if they can get a better starting quarterback, they're pretty much set. Arizona should be able to figure it out. Keyword should. We'll see what happens in the NFC North, but the NFC is just getting better, because I'm sure Tom Brady will be in Tampa Bay another year. If the Saints, you know, if Breeze retires and Jameis Winston goes back to gunslinging out New Orleans, that could be actually a really interesting team. Carolina with CMC back. God, who else? Could go on and on. We won't talk about the NFC East.
Yeah, the thing with the NFC South and the Saints is the Saints have a lot of cap commitments, so there's no way for them to get better. They're like negative 252. They're like negative 250 over the cap right now. So if they want to get better, it's going to have to be internally. And I see them having to cut some players, having to restructure some deals to even try and alleviate some of that cap hit, because they are in unprecedented territory. They have the worst cap situation in the entire league. for Carolina's sake, if they can get a quarterback, I like them a lot. And I've heard murmurs about Deshaun Watson being rumored in trade talks. I don't know if it's anything serious, but I think Carolina's going to put their cap in the running, because with a player like Deshaun, if you have the option, go for it.
That could be a real dangerous offense, like Robbie Anderson, Curtis Samuel, DJ Moore, Deshaun Watson, CMC. That's dangerous.
I think you have to get rid of one of those receivers, and probably like a, I don't know what else you'd give up. It'd be like a lot of draft picks, that's for sure. And probably Teddy Two Gloves.
If I was DJ Walker, if I was Carolina, I would hang on to Robbie Anderson. I don't know why I really like Robbie Anderson. I think he, you know, did really well after he stepped out of the Jets. Big surprise. But I think with the quarterback like Deshaun Watson, Robbie Anderson could really flourish. I mean, he had a good year this year with Teddy, so he could even have a better year next year.
I think Robbie Anderson's a better version of Will Fuller in the sense that Robbie Anderson stays healthy.
Yeah.
Because they both have insane speed. They'll break away with anyone.
All right, so now we'll talk about the game that kind of was really hyped and then wasn't that good. Buffalo and Baltimore. The Bills, you know, leave Buffalo, beating the Ravens 17-3. I mean, the Bills played all right. Their defense is playing really well. Stephon Diggs had another 100-yard game. Josh Allen, 23 for 37, 206 and a touchdown. He had 7 carries for 3 yards. He didn't even have to run that much. It's really interesting to watch Buffalo because they really abandoned the running game for the first like couple quarters. And I don't know, the Bills are a great team, but I feel like when they go to Kansas City, they need to find that run game again. I feel like Devin Singletary can be a good back. I just don't know what it's going to take for him to be a good back.
Yeah, I think the score itself doesn't tell the full story to that game. I watched a good chunk of it. But genuinely speaking, I think the Bills, I wouldn't say they got lucky. I think if Cleveland comes into Buffalo, they might actually have more trouble because Cleveland's healthy and Cleveland, I don't know. I just, they lucked out playing Baltimore. And I think, because the thing was, you have arguably the most accurate kicker in the NFL hitting the upright twice in a game. Yes, the Bills are a good team and they could play in the Super Bowl, but I would not be looking forward to going to Arrowhead after that performance. With how bad Baltimore played for stretches of that game, they should have won by 30.
I mean, I'll give credit to the Ravens defense too. I mean, that defense is really good, but that their offense just, I mean, let's see, Tucker missed 2 field goals, so you would say that it would be 17-9. It's just,
that changes the game.
Yeah, but
17-9, it's basically a one score game.
But Lamar could just not find the end zone, and then he had that pick 6 in the red zone. That was the biggest. Every time they got close, they just couldn't finish it.
But that's also my point. For a chunk of it is, if I'm the Bills, Josh Allen needs to figure it the fuck out, like right now. He got his 1 week of like okay out of the way. If he pulls that shit in Arrowhead, he's gonna get blown out.
Yeah.
You can't throw for like 60-something% completion for like 200 yards and a score against Mahomes, because Mahomes is playing. If Mahomes doesn't play, even with Chad Henne out there, Andy Reid's proven me wrong a lot of the time. And Kansas City's defense is scrappy. They have more weapons than anybody else in the league. If anyone could find a way to win without their starting quarterback in an AFC title game, it's Andy Reid. And with how Buffalo played last week, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I think it couldn't happen.
Yeah.
Because if you really think about it, without that pick 6, the Ravens are within a field goal of winning that game.
Yep.
if Tucker doesn't miss those other two. Like, right. That game, the box score doesn't tell the full story. But kudos to the Bills. I really like Josh Allen. I just wasn't impressed by either team on Saturday.
So where do the Ravens go from here now? They're out in the divisional round again. Yeah, Lamar Jackson got his playoff win, but you can't continue to have these kind of lame-ass performances.
They need to get him a receiver. A number one guy. Marquise Brown is not a number one.
Yeah, but can he even throw to him? Best. Can he even throw to a number one?
The thing is, the Ravens are way too invested in this. To this point, they have to just try and get him number one, and hopefully it works out. Because they've curled to... If you get rid of Lamar Jackson right now, you're set back 5 years. Your entire roster is cultivated for this guy. So if you don't do everything in your power to make him succeed, you're fucked either way. But you're better off... Because Lamar's a transcendent talent. He's the fastest quarterback we've ever seen. He's game for 1,000 yards any year. He's going to get you to the playoffs. You just got to figure out what scheme's going to work to get him to be able to... Because let's not act like he has the best playmakers in the league. Whenever your leading receiver is Willie Snead, there's some issues there.
Yeah.
Whenever your wide receiver three is Dez Bryant in 2021, there's issues there. Yes, I get it. He's missing certain throws, but his best receiving target is Mark Andrews, and half the time that fool has brick hands. Like, I get it, but whenever his contemporaries like Josh Allen have Stephon Diggs, when Baker Mayfield has not only Jarvis Landry, but also players like Kareem Hunt and Odell Beckham Jr., Mahomes has anything he could ever wish for. So, yeah, you got to be able to make throws, but at a certain point, your receivers have to create separation and make plays. It's twofold.
Yeah, I mean, like, they had over 300 yards, rushing yards per game. Like, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are serviceable running backs that can go alongside Lamar. And Lamar is just usually tearing it up on the ground most of the time. It's just, they always have that duck in the playoffs, like they had against the Bills. Like, Lamar had great runs against Tennessee. Like, they had a good scheme, they beat up, they stopped Derrick Henry. You know, that defense is great. That defense usually puts them in position to win. You know, they won, like, what, 5 games in a row to make the playoffs after they struggled for a little bit?
They had some suspect competition, but yeah, they did. They won 5 straight.
Yeah. They had that insane Monday night game against the Browns.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard for me to say time's running out because Lamar is so young. Like, they still have Lamar for a while before they even have to pay him a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know what they re-signed. They re-signed Marlon Humphrey, right? So they have Marlon Humphrey for a long time.
And they signed Calais Campbell, I'm pretty sure. They'll probably re-sign, who's the other edge rusher? Didn't they end up getting Ngakoue, or was it Hunter?
Is it Ngakoue? They picked up, I can't remember.
It's one of the two, but their defense should be fine next year. The defensive coordinator set. John Harbaugh is still a good coach. Mark Ingram was released along with RG3, so that's going to open up a bit of cap space.
Big trust.
So they need to get a receiver, and if there's any time to get a wide receiver in a free agency period, it's this year. If they walk away without a wide receiver one after this free agency period, then I'm not going to bet the Ravens ever again in my life. There's just no point in doing it. Whenever you can get the likes of a Chris Godwin, an Allen Robinson, a Kenny Galladay, to name a few, you try and at least get one of them.
Yeah. I think A-Rob, Fuller, Galladay, anybody.
I think Allen Robinson would be the perfect fit for the Ravens. This dude had Blake Bortles chucking him passes. He had over 1,000 yards and like 10 touchdowns. He had Mitch Trubisky throwing him balls this year, over 1,000 yards. He doesn't drop passes. If you throw it within his vicinity, he's coming down with it.
Well, because the Ravens don't need a deep threat. Like Marquise Brown's a deep threat. That dude just can just run. They need a great route runner, and that's A-Rob.
They need a possession/red zone threat, and Allen Robinson can do anything.
Yeah.
He's not the fastest, but he is a great receiver. And for a guy like Lamar, I think Allen Robinson's track record fits him perfectly.
Yeah.
Don't need a super accurate quarterback. You just need to get it in his vicinity, and he's going to catch it. So if the if I'm the Ravens GM, I am cashing out for Allen Robinson.
You hear us, John Harbaugh?
Because he might be their last shot at unlocking what Lamar can do.
Yeah.
Unless they can draft somebody, but I don't think you're finding an Allen Robinson every draft.
Yeah, and plus your division is still going to be difficult. Like, we're not going to worry about the Bengals, but like the Steelers defense is still going to put them at like 8 wins a year. And the Browns are kind of on the uprise. Maybe, yeah. We'll see what happens with Big Ben.
The Steelers need a quarterback. Ben's cooked.
Mm-hmm. Just need someone to throw to old Juju and Chase. And Deontay,
well, Juju
if they
can
stop.
Leave in free agency, so.
True. But also, the Steelers just dropped way too many passes this year. On top of that.
Led the league in TikToks and dropped passes.
Best 11-0 team. Let's go. All right. the Chiefs beat the Browns 22-17. I can't remember when, but Mahomes goes out with a concussion. I'm just going to say it now. The hit wasn't dirty. Did you see the hit?
I saw the hit. It was just, if people are moving at that speed, things are going to happen. And it was a quarterback-designed run. If you're putting your quarterback out there to get hit, he's going to get hit.
It was literally a quarterback-designed run. The man was tackled from behind, and it went face first. That kind of shit just happens.
Yeah, it's a bang-bang play. So, yeah. Andy Reid obviously isn't going to run Mahomes again like that. Like, yes, Mahomes can run the ball, but they're lucky it didn't cost them a chance in the AFC title game.
I mean, what did Mahomes do to his leg last year when he ran that quarterback sneak? He was out for like 2 or 3 games.
Dislocated his knee.
Yeah.
He almost tore something in his knee too.
Yeah. Ow.
Yeah. Nope. Not a fan at all.
But hey, Chad Henne did what Chad Henne needed to do, and he kept the lead, and he finished the game.
Well, Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid are just, they don't give a shit anymore.
They don't.
You got 4th and 1 with like a minute left. You're up by 6 or 7. You're up by like 5. It was like 22-17. You're up by 5. There's a minute left. You line Henne up 4th and 1 in shotgun. If you're in the I formation, you can fake like you're going to try and hike it, and you can draw them off sides. Andrew's like, no, fuck that. So everyone's like, oh, they're not going to snap it. Tony Romo said they're not going to snap it. Ball gets snapped. Tyreek Hill's wide open. First down. Chiefs win. Your backup quarterback threw that pass. I don't know if I'd call that even with Mahomes in the game. It was pandemonium. It was insane.
Yeah, and Andy Reid is... he's something, man. That man is Hall of Fame coach, no doubt, in my mind. Here's a stat for you. Only 2 teams in NFL history have hosted 3 consecutive conference championship games. Mm-hmm. The 2018 to the now Chiefs and the 2002 to the 2004 Eagles. Andy Reid coached both those teams, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy Reid is the national treasure. Andy Reid's, God, he's one of the best to ever do it. He's not the best to ever do it because there's a man named Billiam that still presides in New England, but it's crazy. Andy Reid's gotten shit on for so long. He finally got a Super Bowl, and I think he's finally getting the credit he deserves.
Yeah, I think he really is. He deserves it. I mean, like, granted, I couldn't stand him when he was in Philly because I just have to hate Philly, but I can't deny what the man has done.
Yeah. His resume speaks for itself. But on the Cleveland end of this game, the Browns played their hearts out. Really did. Myles Garrett was really banged up, so he wasn't out there near the end of the game. There's no shame in the game for Cleveland this year. They played their hearts out, and they overachieved. So I think there's nowhere to go but up from here, genuinely. I think they could win their division as soon as next year, especially if Ben retires. Actually, I think if Ben plays, they probably have a better shot of winning the division.
Honestly.
But they got another year of Baker. Baker put together some really nice games down the stretch for this team. OBJ should be back. Jarvis is back. You have that two-headed backfield of Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. Their defense is still stout, and they're going to be another year wiser.
Man, if Chubb plays 16 games next year, that man is going to run till he can't run no more.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. He's going to be running all over. Nick Chubb's probably one of the best just runners in the league.
Yeah, and to have like Kareem Hunt to back him up is just insane. So it's definitely just nowhere but up for the Browns here, I think. But we'll see. Only time will tell.
Yeah.
So the Bucks and the Saints. So Breeze threw 3 picks.
Yes, he did.
Whole 134 yards. Call it a career, my dude. This New Orleans window is closing. They have tried to compete. You had the Minneapolis Miracle. You had Kyle Rudolph. Now you got this. You have found a way to lose every time, and it's going to continue. You can't throw Breeze out. I don't think you can throw Breeze out there anymore. The man has gotten his body absolutely destroyed this year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it ain't going to heal like it used to.
Yeah, no.
Taysom Hill is not the answer.
Not at all.
You know what I found funny?
So
Taysom Hill was out for the game. So he didn't suit up, nothing. You know how many times they showed that man on the sideline? I was like, what the fuck? This guy's not even the starting quarterback. Why are you showing me Taysom Hill 97 times? I get it. He's not playing. He's not playing half the time anyways.
Yeah, I think Jameis, if he stays in New Orleans, he's on a one-year deal, so he's a free agent again. I think New Orleans has to kind of bring him back if they can, because Jameis is... He showed flashes of it in the one play he actually got to play in. He threw a 56-yard touchdown.
Well, yeah,
granted, Bucks defensively screwed the pooch on that. But
they stole that play from Chicago and actually caught the ball this time.
Yeah. Poor Mitch.
Mitch doesn't deserve it. Well, maybe he does. I don't know. But yeah, Jimbo just kind of dropped like a... I mean, if Jimbo missed that throw, then yikes. That man was the most wide open man I've ever seen.
A funny fact of the whole quarterback retirements moving forward. Ben hasn't officially announced it yet, but if you were to tell me 5 years ago that the out of the three quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, Philip Rivers, and Drew Brees, who would have the best send off game to end their careers, people wouldn't say Philip. But as it stands, Philip Rivers didn't end on top, but in terms of performances go, he's outshining the other two quarterbacks in this this little experiment.
Yeah, honestly. Maybe Phil can settle down and start a family.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Hopefully at this point. 9 kids deep. He's got a little village going on there.
9 more to go.
Yeah, but in regards to the whole just setup that's going on with that whole game in New Orleans against the Bucks. I said it last week. It's hard to beat a team 3 times in a calendar year alone, but in one season, that's even harder. So what happened. I saw it happening before it happened. The offense had more weapons. Their defenses were comparable. And Brady's Brady. He's the ageless wonder, and I'm going to continue to wonder how he doesn't age, because it's just how it works.
Oh, you know what I also forgot about with the Saints is that non-pass interference call that we had against the Rams. They had against the Rams. I don't know why I said we. But the Saints... I don't know if the Saints make the playoffs next year. They have a lot of money to cut. If Breeze retires, they have dead money. I'm not going to sit here and make the prediction that the window is closed, but it ain't open that much. They don't really have that much left. Even if they re-sign. I mean, you have Alvin Kamara, so Alvin Kamara is a world beater. You still have Michael Thomas, so if you could put Winston in that lineup and give him reps every day, he might be able to figure it out. He's a gunslinger. He should be able to figure it out. And, you know, he would have Kamara just to dump it down to every other play. But we'll see. We'll see about the Saints. The Saints are in trouble, I think.
The Saints are in deep trouble. The Saints are looking like the the Saints' outlook is basically the Rams, but the Rams are young.
Yeah.
And they still have their quarterback. The Saints are going to be without their quarterback, and they're going to be strapped for cap and dealing with, like, all of this other hoopla. Like, it's just they don't have the money, and as we've seen throughout history, a running back's not going to win you a Super Bowl. A combination of a running back and receiver can, but it's defense, quarterback play, and then your skill positions. So their defense is old. It's getting older. They are strapped for cap. There's no room for improvement. The Panthers can improve. The Falcons should be able to improve. The Bucks are the Bucks. The Bucks should win the division outright next year. So New Orleans could go from first to last in this division. And I don't think that would be a surprise.
Yeah, honestly. We'll see what happens. I know you want to give a fuck Dustin May award, though, before we move on.
So for the NFL playoffs divisional round, we're going to give the fuck Dustin May award of the week to concussions at large. We hate concussions on this show. We wish they didn't exist. We feel terrible for Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes for having to leave their games and just being concussed in general. Concussions, you strike again, and we're thankful the NFL actually follows their health and safety protocols whenever it comes to concussions. But fuck them.
Yeah, big shout out to every major sport that really kind of took over concussion protocol and really took it away from teams, because I felt like there was just some teams where, not that they evaluated concussions poorly, it's just the fact that it's like, yeah, how many fingers am I holding up? 40. All right, he's good to go. Like, I feel like that would happen. Like your best player is concussed, and you're like, oh, well, he can stand up straight, so he's good to go. Like, seeing Patrick Mahomes try and stand up and really look like he has no idea where the fuck he is. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's really scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah. Fuck concussions.
Fuck them. Damn them all to heck.
All right, here we go. Conference championship weekend.
This is going to be quick. I already have my answers.
Okay.
I've had them for the last 3 months.
Bucks and Packs.
Packers. I get it. The Bucks kicked the shit out of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers one time this year. And if the Bucks proved anything, it's hard to beat teams multiple times in the same year. So not only are they not playing in Tampa, they're playing in Lambeau. It's going to be cold as shit. It's not going to be that 75-degree weather. Aaron Rodgers is the baddest man on the planet. And I just think this would be a blemish on his resume if he can't make it with this team, genuinely speaking. Because the Bucks have flaws, and you can exploit the Bucks' flaws. The Saints did it twice. So give me Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl for the second time in his career. Yeah. I'm taking the Packers all the way.
Yeah. Yeah, probably same. The Bucks have a chance to make history by being the first team to play the Super Bowl at home, but
I don't like history whenever it comes to stuff like that.
That's fair. I mean, Rodgers is almost thrown, or he's now thrown over 50 TDs this year. It's Rodgers' year to make the Super Bowl. I might not pick him to win the Super Bowl, but I'll pick him to make the Super Bowl.
Oh, dude. If he shows out in the NFC Championship game, because the Bucks' defense is better than anything the AFC is going to throw at them. Genuinely. Top to bottom, that defense is probably the best one left in football.
Man.
Antoine Winfield Jr., probably one of the better safeties. Tre'Davious White. No? Tre'Davious White's not even the best corner left out there. Devin White's probably the best linebacker they have out there. Tyrann Mathieu's one of the better safeties.
Devin White is nuts.
Devin White is cracked. That dude, Devin White had 140 tackles and 9 sacks this year. I don't think I've heard his name at all in Defensive Player of the Year conversations. Devin White is special.
I had that man on my fantasy team in the league where I have to run defensive players. That man beat up for me.
He's a monster.
Oof.
He's a monster.
That man won me games.
I don't doubt that. But yeah, no, I think if Rodgers can win this game convincingly, I don't think anything from the AFC can like phase him defensively. Mahomes is scary because the Packers defense could give up 30 points because it's Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But that Chiefs defense can give up 40, as the Raiders proved to us earlier in the year.
Yeah. Give me the Packers. And
that leads us to Buffalo versus Kansas City.
Damn right it does.
How much do you love Josh Allen?
I love Josh Allen. Give me Josh Allen and the Bills going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, man. So if Mahomes cannot play physically.
With or without Patrick Mahomes, I pick the Bills.
Okay. This is where you're wrong. This is where you're wrong. Josh Allen and the Bills barely were able to beat the locomotive that was the Baltimore Ravens offense. I get it. The score was 17-3. But they kept a game with an earshot for the entire game. They relied upon their defense for a pick six. I'm not saying Mahomes won't give up a pick six, but it is very unlikely. If the Bills want any shot of playing in the Super Bowl this year, they're going to have to turn Mahomes over. And that's a tough task. And they have to go to Arrowhead. So unless your name's Tom Brady, I don't see somebody beating the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs. And luckily for the Chiefs, Tom Brady's out in the NFC.
Yeah.
Because whenever you look at the matchups, Mahomes is the better quarterback. Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs is probably better than Tyreek Hill right now. Kelsey's the best tight end in the league. Defensively, Tyrann Mathieu's a stud. I think on defense, the Bills might have a slight edge, but it's not like the Bills are world beaters. Their defense is opportunistic, but without those opportunities to pick off balls, it's not going to be like they're not game changers in the realm of a Tampa Bay or a Los Angeles like the Rams. They don't have an Aaron Donald. They don't have a Vita Vea. They don't have these huge bodies. I think I like the Chiefs defense up front even more. You've got Chris Jones and Frank Clark. Like the Chiefs are built for this game. If they were playing in Buffalo, I might have a bit more concern, but give me the Chiefs. As long as Mahomes is on the field, the Chiefs are winning this game. Even with Chad Henne, they have a chance.
If Patrick Mahomes isn't on the field, what do you say?
I think it's close and the Chiefs could pull it out.
Okay.
The Browns are a better defensive team than the Bills from what I've seen this year.
I'm leaning on the side of that both these teams are going to score upwards of 30 points. I believe it's going to come down to literally one more defensive stop than the other, and I think the Bills defense can get one more defensive stop than the KC defense can. That's where I'm leaning towards. I'm leaning towards a shootout. I'm leaning towards both defenses sucking, but KC's defense sucking. Think back to when the Raiders beat the Chiefs earlier in the year, where the Raiders just got one extra touchdown in the end because Ruggs, like, burned somebody. I'm not going to say, like, Diggs is going to burn somebody, but that dude is insane, and I think that's the type of game it's going to be. If I were to compare it to any game this season, that's the type of game I would compare it to.
I don't think it's going to be anything like that, personally. I think if there's any indication from last week, it's that the Bills can be human and the Bills can be beaten rather easily, genuinely speaking. If I'm the Chiefs, Stephon Diggs is not beating me. You're going to have to run the ball, and you're going to have to throw it to, like, John Brown or Cole Beasley. They're a great team, yes, but Josh Allen makes mistakes. Mahomes has been known to make some this year, but I would bank on Allen throwing a pick more so than Mahomes. And we have to take into consideration the Browns defense and the Baltimore defense aren't that far apart. Baltimore's a better defense, yes. But even with playing a full, basically a full half of football with your backup quarterback, you still put up 22 against the Browns. And genuinely, that Buffalo defense put up 10 points. Or that Buffalo offense only put up 10 points against the Ravens. So Buffalo would need some major breaks to go their way for them to win this game. They would need to win the turnover battle. They would need to win time of possession. Because I just don't see any way that Mahomes loses an Arrowhead given the circumstances and given the rosters.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely can see the Chiefs just blowing this one out. Like, it's the Kansas City Chiefs. It's, you know, it's their time.
I think it's more likely the Chiefs win by 20 than the Bills win by 7.
It's not the last time we're going to see Mahomes versus Allen in the playoffs. I can tell you that.
Football's crazy. It could be. You never know.
True.
You really never know.
But we'll see. I'm really excited for this weekend. I think we're in for a couple of really good games.
Yeah, it sucks. I'm going to miss at least one of them.
That is a shame.
I'll have to watch the live tweets.
You'll have to just watch the Pro Bowl or something.
Yeah, isn't the Packers-Bucks game the night game?
No, backwards.
Oh, it's not. Oh, but okay. Because
Bucks and Packers at noon Pacific, and then Bills and Chiefs at 3:40 Pacific.
Tom loves that because whenever Tom Brady has to, because Tom Brady goes to bed at like 9 p.m. every night, so any night games, it's not good for his equilibrium. He's all thrown off. I heard that on another podcast, and I was like, dang, that's actually a really good point.
It is true. All right, to round out football, let's go ahead and go through. There's been a lot of coaches hired since we last spoke. So you want to start with the biggest or you want to start with the smallest?
Well, fuck it, go biggest.
All right, Urban Meyer to Jacksonville.
I don't know how I feel about this. I genuinely don't know how I feel about this. Urban Meyer's a great college coach. I can't take that from him. But coaching college football players and coaching professional football players are two different things. For one, in college, you don't have to pay the kids. In the pros, everyone is getting paid. It is their jobs, and you cannot treat them like children. You cannot micromanage them. You cannot control their lives. So this Urban Meyer thing will either go extremely well, or it's going to turn out like Chip Kelly did, and people are going to resent him.
Yeah. I mean,
it'll be fun, though. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good football mind to put in that kind of situation where you have extra draft picks, you're young, and you have like things to figure out. You know, you can go get Trevor Lawrence and have him alongside James Robinson. Hopefully you can revive the career of DJ Chark.
Yeah.
He'll do better than the Jags did this year. I guarantee you Urban Meyer can probably... I hope Urban Meyer can win two games. Unless they want to take
I don't think Urban Meyer's going to win two games by himself. The players might win two games. But Urban Meyer against Aaron Donald, I'm taking Aaron Donald 98% of the time.
98?
Well, we didn't describe what the competition was.
Fair.
If it's Sudoku, I'm taking Urban Meyer against anybody.
Sudoku.
He's had plenty of time on the couch.
Oh man. Okay. Let's see. Oh, I forgot. Arthur Smith? Arthur
Falcons,
Smith
right?
To Falcons. Yeah. I almost said Arthur Blank, yeah. That's their owner.
I've never heard of that man in my entire life until I got hired by the Falcons. So congratulations, Arthur. I thought it was the aardvark from that children's show. I was like, what?
I don't know anything about Arthur Smith to say anything. Mm. He's an offensive mind, as he was the Titans' offensive coordinator. But I think the Falcons have a lot of question marks. They might trade Julio. We'll see. I don't know how much Matt Ryan has left in the tank. He still has a decent amount in the tank to throw the ball.
Yeah.
But I don't know at what point Atlanta's going to say that they're done.
They have Calvin Ridley. They have Russell Gage. They have the ghost of Todd Gurley. I think he's a free agent this year, actually. We'll see.
They have a great offensive game. And Calvin Ridley pops off when Julio Jones ain't on the field. But...
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see who they pick. I think it'll be really interesting to see where they're going to go in the draft.
If they can get a quarterback in the first round, do it. Trade or let him sit behind Matt Ryan for a year. Trade Matt Ryan. Do whatever you want. But they should get a quarterback in this draft, genuinely speaking.
I mean, I feel like they can get a quarterback round one and a running back round two.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't even really be drafting running backs round one unless you're going for top talent at the end of the round.
Yeah. So we'll see. I think, yeah. I think for Atlanta, it just depends on their draft pick where they go from there. Dan Campbell, Saints assistant head coach, now Detroit Lions head coach. Good luck. Good luck, man.
Congrats, Detroit. I don't have much to say on that one. I'm still hungover from the Matt Patricia saga, so hopefully he's better than that. But that's asking a lot.
Yeah, honestly.
Pseudo Belichick wannabe.
Jesus. Harsh.
It's the truth. All these Belichick disciples come out of being with Belichick like, well, I have a culture. It's like, no, Bill Belichick has a culture because he has 7 Super Bowls, whatever the amount is at this point. So, like, yeah, you can be an asshole and, like, tell players, like, you're not going to get this much money playing here, but you're going to get Super Bowls and you're going to get, like, team wins. And then they're like, well, I want Super Bowls, so they sign for less. Whenever you're Matt Patricia and you're going 3-13 with the Lions, you can't really hardball with free agents.
Yeah. I think, once again, it'll depend on who the Detroit Lions take in the draft. I don't know where they go from here. I really don't.
The Lions are in a similar situation to the Falcons to an extent, but they don't have the ability to trade their best receiver. Galladay could just walk in this offseason.
Yeah.
Which I expect him to do. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with all that, but...
If Calvin Johnson walks away from football, I think Kenny Galladay will walk away from the Lions.
They're the only franchise to have 2 all-time greats retire early because their team is incompetent. We hate to see it.
We really do. Robert, I always forget how to say his last name.
Robert Sala.
Sala to the New York Jets. Jets. 5 years.
I like it.
I like it a lot.
They're committed to him. He's a great defensive mind. He is a passionate head coach, and I think he's somebody that players are going to want to play for. I don't know if it translates to free agents this first offseason, but this is the best hire for the Jets in years.
Yeah, he really did something with that Niners defense. He flipped it, basically. He still kept it top 10 after all the injuries this year. I think he can really do something for this Jets team.
The Jets have talent.
It may not be this year.
They just don't have a system to use it.
Yeah.
He has 5 years to do it. So yeah. I think by year 3, he could have this team looking special.
That's what I was thinking. I think after 2 years, you know, depending who they take in the draft as well, I assume it's Justin Fields, maybe.
He hasn't declared.
Oh, that's fair.
So once he declares, yeah, I would think Justin Fields possibly. But they could also go for the tackle out of Oregon. Who's stopping him? Because maybe Solo wants to try out Darnold for a year.
I don't hate that idea.
I think it's better off getting shoring up that offensive line. Because you have Becton and you get Sewell. I don't know if they play the same position, but one of them would have to flip over.
Yeah.
But you have 2 huge, like, star caliber offensive linemen, and you just round out the line through free agency, then your quarterback's protected for the first time since USC days.
Yeah, I think out of all the head coaching hires that we've had in the past week, this is probably the best one. I think wherever he went, he was going to change that team. I think he can be a really high caliber head coach. But we'll see. Only time will tell.
I agree with that. Yeah, only time will tell.
You want to talk about your hire?
Oh, Brandon Staley to the Chargers. I didn't know anything about this guy before he got signed. I was hoping we were getting to bowl from the Bills. But honestly, this is actually a really good hire. He's the mastermind and the architect behind this Rams defense this previous year. He's been there for a couple years now. there's one thing that I've hated about the Chargers over the last 3 years is our fucking defense. Granted, we're hurt 95% of the time, but our defense has way too much talent to not be playing up to its potential. So Staley's schemes work. We saw it this year with the Rams. And so I welcome him with open arms to this Chargers organization. I think he can do some special things. And my only worry is I hope we have some form of offensive mind to make sure Herbert doesn't stagnate and we can continue to develop him in the proper ways.
Yeah, I feel like your guys' offense like has the weapons to where you don't need the insane mind to be able to make that offense run. You just have to not call halfback dive 97% of the time. Like, you have Austin Eckler, you have Justin Herbert, you have Keenan Allen. Hunter Henry's walking, I think, right? Or he's in. Yeah. But, I mean, you still have a number one wide receiver. You still have, like, a solid RB1. Austin Eckler can put in work. And Herbert showed that he can play.
I think the Chargers could get a wide receiver 3 this year in the draft. We should probably get a lineman. We could also use a change of pace back or, like, a third down back type deal, power back. To compliment Eckler, just because Eckler is—he's not bad. He's just—he's a really good running back, but I don't know if he's built for every down production, and that's not his fault. And I think we would be better suited having him as a first and second down back, and bringing a bigger guy for third downs and goal line situations. Just because Eckler got hurt as the workhorse this previous year, and it might have been a fluke, but at the same time, we need to protect him because running backs age. Had a very steep curve in the NFL.
Well, the thing is, we don't see a whole lot of three down backs anymore. They just
Derrick Henry, Zeke, and that's about it.
Even then, those teams are usually running out their other back on third down. Like I've seen Derrick Henry and Zeke on third down, but like the Cowboys situation is a little bit different, I think, because Tony Pollard's kind of like stepping out, so they put him in third down a lot, and I think he's the better pass catching back, but. Yeah. I think that's the same reason why Derrick Henry isn't out there on third down, because he's not a good pass catching back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, that pretty much is what makes you a three down back now. It's not toughness anymore. It's can you catch a pass?
Yeah.
Like, can I dump it off to you on third and two and be able to get 2 yards? Can I get you out in the flat? Spider two, Y banana.
Spider two, Y banana.
Favorite play.
Oh, it's the best one in the playbook. It's the only one we need.
But I don't think any of these head coaching hires were necessarily bad. Who does that leave? Are there any openings left? Atlanta? No, Atlanta got Arthur Smith. I'm dumb.
I think everyone's accounted for the most part. Houston still has an opening. They're interviewing Eric Bieniemy. Philly. Yeah, I wouldn't touch Philly with a 10-foot pole.
Philly's talking to Kellen Moore.
Andy Reid leaves Kansas City to go back to Philadelphia.
No fucking way. No fucking
chance. The best they have the best cheeseburgers.
That's fucked up. It's possibly true. But fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just Philly and Houston at this point.
Philly and Houston, yep. Two terrible situations. So kudos to whoever takes those, because you're going to need some luck.
Yes, it's literally
speaking,
two teams that you don't want to touch. So,
yeah. But speaking of luck, I'm really lucky that I haven't left the house yet, because Jesus hell. The stove is hot, Austin.
It won't turn off.
My house is on fire.
The gas bill is very high. It.
My propane, I haven't changed the tank on this grill. But the stove top on it is just steaming. I don't even run the heater anymore. It's just the stove's always on.
Every time you turn it off, somebody turns it back on. Every fucking time. Oh, man.
There ain't no rest for the wicked, and the wicked is the MLB offseason.
Where
Holy
do you
want to
start? Where do we even start? We can start with the Yankees, the Padres, or the Blue Jays. Take your pick. Because all three of these teams are on fire.
DJ LeFucking Mayhew. That's the best free agent deal I've seen all summer. Or all winter. Fuck, they got me mixing up my seasons. It's been that crazy. No, DJ signed for what, 5 years, $92 million?
How do you pay
like
that man less than $100? How do you get away with that?
That is criminal. He's their best player. Like, if DJ walks, I'm genuinely afraid for their chances of the playoffs.
He had to have won a state. He had to.
He had to. Because then we go a little bit down the week, and we see Corey Kluber.
Okay, so...
He signed, right?
Yeah, so Corey Kluber is a real interesting signing for the Yankees. I think it's a good signing for the Yankees. I thought it was going to be a good signing for anybody who gave Corey Kluber a chance. It's a...
Yeah.
It's a high risk, high reward deal. It's you're mm-hmm. taking a guy who basically hasn't pitched in a major league baseball game in 2 years. He broke his forearm in 2019, mm-hmm. tore something in his shoulder in 2020, pitched one whole inning for the Texas Rangers. Damn it. But he's still a Cy Young winner.
Two time.
He's still the Klubot. He's still Now granted, he's getting older, so who knows if his body is going to be able to it's going to be hard for him to pitch 162 game season. When you haven't played in 2 years, you've been hurt, you're getting older, it's going to be tough. But the Yankees needed a starting pitcher to go behind Garrett Cole, because that's where all their question marks lie.
Another thing with the whole Garrett Cole stuff is, are we sure Garrett Cole is going to play all 160? Is he going to be available for the entire season? Because the MLB... they've included into the whole synthetic ball grip scandal. There was a guy that worked for the Angels that got fired, and he's been supplying MLB pitchers with this stuff for years. The secret stuff. It's supposed to help with your spin rate.
Well, yeah, but it didn't become... it's been happening for so long. How can you punish guys at this point? I think it's a thing of it stops now. I think to be fair, that's all you should really do is Major League Baseball. But it's Rob Manfred, so I don't know.
Oh, nothing's going to happen. If you can bang on track. My biggest thing with baseball is the hypocrisy of all of it. If nothing happens to Garrett Cole and the people that were greasing baseballs to up their spin rate, I think it's bullshit. If Garrett Cole ever makes it into the Hall of Fame, I think it's bullshit. Justin Verlander, also on that list. And while he's been in Houston, his spin rate has increased at his age, which is really, it's really hard to increase your spin rate on a baseball, scientifically speaking. So all I'm going to say about it is, if baseball wants to die on the hill, they can. But if you see guys like Verlander and these other pitchers that are implicated in this ball tampering scandal and they make the Hall of Fame, then I think it's outright bullshit to keep all the steroid guys out if they have the stats. Because I've heard through certain channels that this stuff is even more overpowered than steroids was. Like,
spin like, rate is insane.
Yeah, legit. Like, if you throw 90 miles an hour with, like, it's like 2600 RPM on your spin rate, there's like a 10% chance they're going to hit that pitch. And if it's like you throw 100 miles per hour with like 2,000 RPMs in your spin rate, it goes up by like 5%. So spin rate is king whenever it comes to pitching. And so, I don't know. That was a little tangent I went on, but I just think baseball needs to be careful on how it treads. Because cheating is cheating is cheating is cheating. If you want to call something cheating, you're going to have to just across the board. You can't provide preferential treatment to cheaters.
I mean,
but if we're just talking about how they played the game and their stats, then fine, let them in. I don't care.
I mean, when Bauer started this whole, you know, thing of being out in the open more as a baseball player, he was like, yeah, hella pitchers use this shit. I do this. Mm-hmm. Like, they use pine tar. You know, when you put spin rate on a curveball, it's going to start at the neck and end up at your knees, and you're out on strikes. Your slider is going to be wipeout. Your fastball is going to... Fastball's going to move, and a fastball moving is scary.
Oh, yeah.
It explains why strikeout rates are much higher.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, we're moving towards the walk, strikeout, or home run type of hitter.
Yeah, the three possible outcomes of baseball.
Yeah, or, I mean, on top of that, you have all these pitchers using that stuff. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Especially if your ball spins a way you don't want it to and ends up over the middle of the plate, and then it, you know, it's 450 feet out.
Oh, yeah.
That shit happens.
It does. But speaking of shit happening, God, the AL East is on fire. The Blue Jays signed George Springer to a 5-year contract.
And while we were talking about football, they signed Michael Brantley.
I saw last night while I was at work that they were in talks to Michael Brantley. So they're both center fielders, aren't they? Or one's a left fielder?
No, Brantley is a left or right fielder.
That's great for them.
Brantley ain't young enough to play center no more. Mm-mm.
You're right.
No chance.
That's the Blue Jays just poached two Houston starters. That's funny.
They did.
That's great. I think that's huge. That's really big. Didn't they just get that second baseman from Korea, the Blue Jays?
No, that was San Diego that signed that guy.
Okay, so they're still rocking out with their second base. Oh, we were talking about if LeMahieu went.
If LeMahieu should be a Jay now. That'd have been sweet.
Yeah, if LeMahieu went to the Jays, they wouldn't be able to sign Brantley. They could, technically. There's no salary cap. But they go and sign Brantley, Springer, LeMahieu. You slide Biggio over to left field. You put Brantley in right. You throw Springer in center. And that is a killer defensive lineup, especially if they can get a third baseman. So Vlad can just DH. Because Bo Bichette's a great shortstop.
Yeah. Bo Bichette is part of that future.
He's silky. He's butter. Yeah, that's going to be huge for them. Because George Springer, albeit he's a cheater, he's a winner. He's won a World Series. He has postseason experience, and he's rebuilt. He understands what it's like to be the young team coming up. So I like Springer with this young core, genuinely. He's not super old.
If you think about it, George Springer's leading off 110% mm-hmm. of the time. Bo Bichette's batting second.
Okay.
Brantley should probably be batting third.
And then you got Vlad.
Vlad in the fourth spot. Because you have Springer who can hit a leadoff home run or get on base.
Mm-hmm.
Bo Bichette can get on base. And Brantley almost never strikes out. And then you have Vlad to drive him in. That top four is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, by the way, they still have Kevin Biggio in there, too. And they're young. That team is so young. Biggest question for the Blue Jays is going to be consistent pitching. They got to keep themselves in the game.
So, do you think this George Springer deal is, I think it's a pretty good deal for the Blue Jays. Looking at how much players they've signed for in the previous 3 years, he signed for 6 years, $150 million. $150 million is a lot of money. But in the grand scheme, when you got guys like Trout making, how much is Trout's contract worth? Almost $400 million?
Close to.
That's a 12-year deal? So that's a 12-year. I think the rate that they're paying George Springer at is very fair, and I think it's actually pretty damn good for the player that he is.
$426.5 million.
So they're paying Mike Trout $426.5 million for 12 years?
Yeah, so they're roughly paying him, let's see here. Yeah, you're roughly paying him $35 million a year.
Yeah, I think this Springer deal is smart. This Springer deal makes sense. And I think it's a better deal than a lot of these 12-year deals that people are getting, at least for the team. Because Springer's older. He's in his 30s now. So you get him from 30 to 36, and if he's done, he's done. And that's fine.
Yeah, Springer's probably the best one to not show that not cheating anymore affected him. He still played fairly well. He's still a great defensive center fielder. He's still a great leadoff hitter. They're paying him $25 million a year. They outbid the Mets,
which
exactly is what they had to do.
Yeah. God, I don't know how the Mets don't go get Springer. I think they're going to regret that.
Personally. Well, they got busy with their GM sending dick pics to reporters, so got a little distracted. Yeah,
not a good look. They still have Lindor, and they still have Pete Alonso, so the Mets will be fine for this year. They just need to kind of hope to get a free agent next year and hope to re-sign Lindor. They reached the biggest deal in arbitration history. over the last couple weeks.
The fifth largest in history. But yeah, it was like $23 million.
Yeah. I wish I could do that at my job. Just be like, okay, so this is what I'm worth. What do you think I'm worth? Then we meet in the middle.
All right, we're going to go see a judge now.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
It's crazy.
Although I'd probably lose.
But speaking of sweet, well, it's not even sweet. It's just kind of predictable at this point. You've heard it once. You're going to probably hear it again. The Padres traded for a starting pitcher.
Just when you think the Padres are done, they're not. The Padres trade for Joe Musgrove. Joe Musgrove was in Pittsburgh. So if you don't know who Joe Musgrove is, makes sense. But Joe Musgrove is actually a really good trade for the Padres.
There's one thing I know about Pittsburgh pitching is that whenever they leave Pittsburgh, dear God, help whoever's behind the plate because they get nasty. I'm talking Garrett Cole. I'm talking Glasnow. If your poor soul gets traded to Pittsburgh, i.e. Chris Archer, I am sorry for your loss.
Poor Archer.
But
the boy never stood a chance.
Pittsburgh feels like the Adam Gase of baseball locations for pitchers. Once you leave, you just sprout the fuck up and you start throwing hard and getting out.
So now the Padres, who still aren't going to put out Mike Clevinger this year. Let's remember that.
Yeah.
Have Yu Darvish. Next year's line. Blake Snell. Joe Musgrove. Delson Lamet. Chris Paddock. Pretty sure they still have Zach Davies in there. Or no.
Oh, God.
I think Davies got shipped. Pretty sure Davies got shipped. But I just named
that
you
is
five.
The nastiest. They are six deep once we hit next year. The 2022 season, they are six deep.
I'm telling you right now, Chris Paddock is an odd man out. Can you believe that?
Chris Paddock was almost rookie of the year, his rookie year.
That's the sheriff.
If Chris Paddock figures shit out, good luck to anybody trying to win a seven-game series against this team. Unless their offense just never shows up, they should. I don't see how they lose the World Series.
How do you score a run? How?
That's what I'm saying. And their bullpen's not bad. And Kirby Yates is still there.
No.
If Kirby goes back to his previous production, he's gone.
You just reminded me. Somebody signed Kirby Yates. Let me check.
Damn.
God. The Blue Jays.
The Blue Jays signed Kirby Yates.
Now, granted, Kirby Yates had an extremely poor 2020 season. But
oh, yeah, his 2020 sucked.
But that's still
if
the 2019.
2018, 2019.
That's still a 2019 saves leader right there. That dude is nasty.
Yeah.
That dude.
So what's
that dude can anchor a
what's
bullpen.
The next move for the Padres? They move a Yeti cooler and like three prospects for Josh Hader. Like, come on, dude.
Resign Mariano Rivera. Mike, you got something left in you, right?
Hey, they can call up my guy from the show. He's money. Dude, my dude on the show, he actually played for the Padres for like 4 years, and then we kept getting screwed out of the World Series, so I left. But jeez, man, holy cow. You give this team a bullpen, it's a wrap. It's just, you can't.
Have I told you that Trevor Bauer is still a free agent?
I swear to God.
This is one of the most insane off seasons in a long ass time
ever.
For baseball.
Oh my God.
And it still has its best guy on the market. Its best starting pitcher.
So where's Bauer going? Out of all the landing spots, where does Bauer land?
I mean, is it San Diego or Toronto at this point? What, like, what the fuck?
Why would he go to San Diego is my question. Do you think he wants to be the guy, or is he cool being like the third guy in a rotation?
That's a great question.
I think Bauer just cares about the bag, genuinely. Bauer can give a shit if he's the top billed guy in the rotation. He knows he can throw. He hates Garrett Cole, and that's all we need to know. I think Trevor Bauer is going to sign with the Blue Jays for two reasons. The Blue Jays will cash him the fuck out, and two, he gets to play against Garrett Cole more than he would if he played for the Padres. So if there's one thing that I'm sure of whenever it comes to Trevor Bauer, he's outspoken. And another thing, he's very outspoken about his hatred for Garrett Cole. So could you imagine getting Cole versus Bauer like multiple times a year in the regular season? That'd be dope. So my heart would my heart cannot see him become a Padre. As a Giants fan, that would just say, yeah, dude, we knew your season was going to be hard, but just toss your cap on, kill some beers, and just enjoy this. Just enjoy the sounds of the ballpark, because you're not going to be enjoying much winning.
Let me tell you too, is that some of these, there's still so many free agents left. You have,
oh yeah,
you have Wade Davis, who is a World Series closer.
Real Muto still on the board, isn't he?
JT Real Muto still has not signed.
I'm scared.
Trevor Bauer. Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta. Oh my god.
Someone call an adult, please. I am in danger. That is gross.
Mike Fiers.
I've heard inkling.
Let's remember one that the A's did not re-sign Marcus Semien and let him walk. Marcus Semien finished in the top three of MVP in 2019.
Yeah, he's already one of the best shortstops in baseball. In the AL, at least, it's like him and Lindor.
Well, because Lindor's out in the National League now, but Marcus Semien couldn't throw a baseball over to first to save his life, and then he met a man named Ron Washington. Probably one of the best coaches in the league, in the game. And that man turned Marcus Semien into an MVP caliber shortstop, because it's like, you stop making errors, you can win an MVP, because you can already hit. That's not your problem. You just can't play defense.
Yeah.
Like,
that's crazy.
God.
We're just going to roll onto the podcast, not say a word about anything besides baseball, and be like, holy shit. We won't even open. There won't be a cold open. There won't be good morning, good afternoon, good night. There will be none of that. It will just be, holy shit, JT Realmuto just signed a 35-year, $45 contract with the New York Mets. Dude, where's JT going to go? Philadelphia better hope he stays, because where else would he go?
I'm still getting my mind blown. Catcher. I'm just reading a list of free agencies. I'm still getting my mind blown.
I'm going to look at that list, too.
Tommy La Stella.
Oh, yeah.
Rich Hill. King Felix. Maybe not a king anymore, but, I mean, all these guys who have kind of, like, lost their touch, if you found their touch again, oh, man.
I forgot that he actually still pitched.
Mitch Moreland. Darren O'Day. Darren O'Day's an insane guy to have in your bullpen. Jock Peterson. Yusmeiro Petit.
Wow.
Jerickson Profar. Yasiel Puig. AJ Ramos. Mm. Wilson Ramos. JT Realmuto. Josh Reddick. Garrett Richards. Chaz Rowe. Jeff Samardzija. Why don't you guys resign Jeff Samardzija?
Shoot. We could just sign, like, me, and I'd be cool with that. Marcell Ozuna is going to be the only National League player to win the Edgar Martinez Outstanding DH Award ever.
Honestly. Funny. Masahiro Tanaka.
God.
Like, it feels like we've been losing our mind, and we're still, Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina still haven't re-signed with the Cardinals, or signed anywhere else for that matter.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's insane. We're in the dog days of free agency. News is just going to keep breaking, and we're going to keep bringing it to you as the weeks progress.
We're in late January, though. Like,
yeah.
We're less than a month away from spring training.
Yes, we are.
Or just about a month.
I think February.
Everyone reports.
February is going to get scary.
I'm scary.
But speaking of scary, the newly acquired James Harden tweeted the other day, scary hours. I don't know what he meant by that, but I am afraid. Because in NBA news, James Harden was traded to the Brooklyn Nets. Sound the alarm. Woj bomb activated. Shams tweeting about it. So four-team deal. We got James Harden going to the Brooklyn Nets. You've got Jarrett Allen and Torian Prince going to the Cavs. You've got the Pacers getting Caris LeVert and a second-round pick. And the Houston Rockets got Victor Oladipo and two other players, along with eight draft picks, four including pick swaps, and I believe they're all first-rounders. So I'm not saying it's going to be a Billy King-level trade, but if this Brooklyn experiment does not work out, they're going to look just as dumb as whenever Billy King swapped all those picks for KG, Paul Pierce, and Jason Terry. But time will tell. But yeah, the East has a new favorite, even if it is a new favorite. James Harden's a net, and that's insane to me.
And that man has set the world on fire since being a net.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I want to look up the stat, but it's like an insane amount of points ever in his like first two games.
You know what's crazy? If he drops 40 plus on the Rockets any point for the rest of his career, he will be the only player, one of the only players in NBA history to drop 40 on every single team in the league.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, then.
Insane.
I'll be over here if you need me. But do me a favor. Don't need me.
Yeah. And then, so Harden got out of Houston. Congratulations to him. Philly was trying to make a move for him. They just didn't want to give up as many picks for what they were asking player-wise, which I respect. Philly has a good team. Philly shouldn't be panicking. They should play this season out and see where they stand and then make moves accordingly. In other news, Kevin Durant is not human. He's averaging 30-something points per game this year, and he's hitting big shots. It's the first time I've seen somebody come off of an Achilles injury and be better. So the league should be afraid of that. Recently, Steph Curry and the Warriors beat the Lakers by 2 points. As a Lakers fan, that stung. In general, Steph Curry's playing at an MVP level. James Wiseman's being playing well for a rookie. Draymond Green is starting to show signs of the old Draymond. But yeah, NBA stuff, there's not a whole lot going on. There was scares of like the NBA shutting down the season for a bit due to all the COVID protocols not being adhered to, but we've survived that. And there's just new protocols being brought out week in and week out. The season's still young. Our Western Conference standings, currently we're looking at Google Be My Shepherd. Dun, dun, dun. And we're in business. So the Western Conference, we're looking at the Lakers in the one spot. Then we got Jazz, Clippers, Suns, Spurs, Trailblazers, Warriors, and Grizzlies. And the Nuggets are right behind the Grizzlies, a half game back. The West is shaping up like how we thought it would for the most part. A surprise is the Spurs for me. They're playing extremely well with DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge. But if they taper off, I expect them to be sellers at the deadline. And then out east, we're looking at the Celtics, the Bucks, the Sixers, 1-2-3, Pacers, Nets, Knicks, Cavaliers, and Hawks to round out the 8 seeds. Biggest surprises in the East for me are the Heat and the Raptors being the 12th and 13th seed, respectively, in their conference. So, obviously, the season's still young. It's a 60-something game season, so they're going to have to figure it out sooner or later. But that's basically the NBA. We kind of had to rush through it today because I got to atone for some commitments future.
I just got two questions for you before you go.
Of course.
CJ McCollum broke his foot.
Man, I fucking hate injuries.
He's out
so much.
He's out for a month. Can Dame Lillard keep Portland relevant without CJ?
He's done it before, and he'll probably do it again. But Nurkic is out as well, so I don't know if he can do that.
Yeah.
Because Yusuf Nurkic broke his wrist. CJ was going to be an all-star, too. That's fucked up. I don't like that.
Yeah, that hurts.
He was putting up like 28. That hurts me, personally. That sucks. Yeah, no. So, yeah, I think the Blazers start to just kind of droop down the Western Conference standings until CJ can come back, unless they can get production from Cantor and some other guys around him. But they're going to need Gary Trent and some of the other guys to, like, step up.
Question two. Steph Curry. Does Steph Curry meet the requirements of comeback player of the year? Because, like, I get it. He was injured last year. I get it. He didn't play a whole lot. But for Steph Curry to come back and still be like, hey, I'm Steph Curry, I'm still just going to shoot a fuck ton of threes and put some teams into the dirt by myself. Does he meet that requirement?
Yeah, I don't think the NBA has a comeback player of the year award, but currently speaking, any other year, Steph Curry is definitely number one. But there's a man named Kevin Durant. Yes, he had a full year off, but this is his first time playing since he blew his Achilles out in the finals.
True.
So I'm taking Kevin Durant for comeback player of the year. Dude's averaging 30, like 8-7 or something like that. It's probably like 8-4, but still, Kevin Durant is just next level right now. But any other year, Steph Curry is definitely like leading for a comeback player type award. But I don't think the NBA offers that one yet. Which is surprising.
Adam Silver, if you're listening,
We'll give it out. We'll give it out. It could be the makeshift manager's comeback player of the year award at the NBA awards
or the ESPYs. We'll give out an ESPY.
Dude, we'll host. It'll be very odd. It'll be awkward. The comedic timing will be super off. I'll make a joke about Peyton Manning's forehead and never get invited back.
It'll either be really funny or really bad. No in between.
It'll be super funny because it's bad. Yeah.
True.
You got to take all of it or none of it.
I
think that's about it for this week.
I will personally invite Adam Gase to the ESPYs just so I can make fun of him.
He'll be our co-host.
There you go.
Just do the eyes the entire time.
It's honestly all we need is just for him to stare off into the distance and just, you know, snap in front of his face for a minute, like, Adam.
We can even give away a Fuck Dustin May award if they want us to.
Yeah, and then we'll have Anthony Lynn in the back covering his face with the playbook calling halfback dive. Look, who chooses the host for the ESPYs? Call me right now.
Probably like the board of directors of the ESPN.
Calling them.
Need to establish for sure. But I think that's about it for this week. Busy week for baseball. The NFL is shrinking at a rapid rate. So once the season's over, and I have to get into speculation for the draft and fantasy football projections, and basketball's heating up. So as time progresses, the show's going to be taking different forms. But as always, we thank you for listening.
Yeah, and until next time. This has been us. That's all I got.
Peace.